Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
February 26th, 1996. It was announced today that the Prince and Princess of Wales are going to get a divorce. I also learned today that Adam and Eve is not a true story. I just felt so upset because my life is so confusing already, and now Adam and Eve may not have even existed. But lunch was good today.
Most teenagers use their journals to vent about their lives. Oline Eaton used hers to vent about history.
May 20th, 1994. Now that Jacqueline Kennedy and Richard Nixon have died, I cannot stop thinking about them. They were a part of history. They made history. Now they are history.
But what exactly was driving her obsession? Perhaps all of it can be boiled down to a desire to never be forgotten.
I wonder if I'll get married. Will I succeed in life? Will I make something of myself? Will I live to the year 2067 so I can hear what Jackie Kennedy told William Manchester? Will I be remembered, or when I die, will I be one of those inconspicuous people who lived their life as a normal private citizen? I hope not. I want to live life to the fullest. I don't want to just live. I want to live. I want to live life not to just be having fun, because I do not think that is an acceptable priority.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, the story of a teenager who, just like our previous reader, was obsessed with claiming her rightful place in history.
My thought was that my diaries, you know, would be laid away in a trunk somewhere or put up in an attic somewhere, and 100 years from now, someone would find them and be like, wow, this kid. I had a feeling I was pretty important and that what I had to say was pretty important.
And not just pretty important.
I was going to be the writer of the century. I was going to be taught in schools, and it was going to be me and William Shakespeare and Jane Austen, and, you know, I'd be in the canon.
Of course, it's hard enough trying to pen the next Little Women, but it's even harder trying to make your day-to-day teenage existence sound like a literary masterpiece. That's exactly what Brooke Allen set out to do. Here she is on stage in Chicago.
For nearly 5 years, I deliberately began writing my diary entries as dramatically as possible, in the hopes that one day they would be found, published, and read worldwide. To make this point very clear to my future admirers, I wrote on the insides of each cover of each new diary, "This book is to be buried after I die." But not too deep, because I want archaeologists to find it. July 13th, 1992. I want to be a writer when I grow up. And today I have tasted bitter disappointment. My story was not chosen in the school writing contest, a bitter affair in which I am too grieved to discuss my tedious emotion. September 11th. I can't believe I'm 13 years old today. So old. I can remember looking up to all the big 13-year-olds. Good night, diary. And good night, childhood. I'm reading The Diary of Anne Frank, and it's so intriguing. How a girl of her young age could be so mature and have the mental capacity of an adult, yet all the necessary dreams and visions of a blooming young girl. Although my life certainly is not as interesting and adventurous as hers. I hope people can look back at me in future years with the same respect and interest as we look at Anne Frank. Later that year, I saw a production of The Diary of Anne Frank and shared my thoughts in my diary. I saw The Diary of Anne Frank performed at the Cleveland Playhouse. I must admit I was dumbfounded at the end. To think of what happened dampens my mood. So I will discuss it no longer, except to say, I'm glad they don't kill Jews anymore. February 12th, 1993. I wrote a story yesterday. The title was Girls or Witches? It was all right, but there was a lot of dramatic shortcuts I used to easily get through problems, like when the girls were in jail and a lady with the keys happened to walk by. I'm not that impressed with it, although some parts are very touching and very symbolic. People should treat other people like kiwi. People buy kiwi and it's so ugly. It's little and brown and hairy, but they don't care. They know that inside there is tons of fresh color and so many new kiwi seeds to be planted. People enjoy kiwi and don't mind what's on the outside because it's what's inside that really matters. Judge people by their fruit inside, not their ugly skin. My friend Brittany was mad because I was funnier than her at dinner last night. I was hyped up and doing impressions and was told repeatedly, you're going to be an actress when you grow up. Ugh, I think not. People always tell me that. Why can't anyone ever say, I think you're going to be an editor of fictional stories and write short stories and run a bookstore? September 10th, 1993. Tomorrow is the annual celebration of my birth. And to cheer myself of the unmistakable hint of depression hidden within my spirits, I have placed pictures of events that took place this summer onto a picture that used to hang limply over my dresser, but now is alive with spirit and remembrance. There are lots of pictures of my friends and one of me drunk. My mom and I saw a play last night, the horrendosity of which I cannot even begin to describe to you. January 3rd, 1994. What if you wore a glass shirt? How would you get it off without hurting yourself? I mean, if the whole shirt was made of glass, arms and all. It would be awful to wear a glass shirt. You'd have to be so careful all the time and refrain from fun things, and everyone around you would be so nervous. I think sometimes I do wear a glass shirt. Amtrak trains gives me such a burst of creative energy. My seat is backwards, which I like because I always prefer to see where I've been rather than where I'm going. March 8th, 1994. Someday, when I die, I want it to be like Juliet from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Passionately in love with a dagger through my heart. But first I want a vacation in Ireland and Greece. Today I bought Othello and The Odyssey, but I have to admit what has been inspiring me and moving me the most lately has been the beautiful love story on this new sitcom called Friends. The fact that Ross loved Rachel so intensely for so long and now she loves him and he doesn't know it moves me so deeply. October 2nd, 1995. Each autumn, I get a rush of creative energy. This fall, I've decided to write a kid's play, which is odd for me since I typically focus on romantic tragedies. But it's good to try something new. Anyway, my creative energy seems to be waning right now, so I'm gonna go sit by the lake for a while and listen to Enya on my Walkman. Her music makes me feel inspired and also kind of weird. My New Year's resolutions, 1996. 1, get a tattoo. 2, get a short story published. 3, write a play. 4, don't fall for any gay men. Quit smoking cigarettes, don't smoke pot, and quit eating. These have essentially been my New Year's resolutions every year since then. June 1st, 1996, I work in a grocery store. And when I'm in this cold back room all by myself and I load the dairy, I get really upset because it reminds me of the Holocaust. I think that the gallons of milk are the men, and the half gallons are the women, and the eggs are the children. It's disgusting that a bunch of dairy products could make me think of that terrible time in history, but ever since I thought of it, my stomach sinks every time I shove a gallon of milk into the fridge. The other day I dropped one, and it splattered everywhere, and I started crying. My boss laughed and said, "Don't cry over spilled milk." But he had no idea it was bigger than that to me. It was the Holocaust. July 10th, 1996. The theater my stepdad runs isn't going to do my play. I'm so depressed. I can't believe this happened. All my goals in life have been flushed down the toilet. If I can't show that I'm talented this summer, I guess I'll try to show that I'm pretty. Yeah. September 8, 1996. Today I told my dad that when I go to college, I want to be an English major. He said, "You'll get over it." What does that mean? Sadly and mercifully, I never did become a child prodigy-wise beyond her years, like Anne Frank. I did become a writer, though, so at least I had part of it right. I don't even have to use a thesaurus when I write. And though I'm not famous or beloved the world over, I can at least confidently say that the plays I write now are not full of horrendosity. September 11th. Today I applied for impossible jobs that I will never get at totally cool places like Walden Books. In case I am dead, and this diary actually is found by archaeologists and printed, like Anne Frank's was, I want you to know that I'm fully aware that this particular entry is boring and that all I've talked about is school and chicken salad. But sometimes you just need a break from creativity, you know?
That was Brooke Allen, and before her, O-Line Eaton, reading aloud their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes today's episode, where we learn that even if the story of Adam and Eve is true, it will never hold a candle to Ross and Rachel. To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PureX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Ketcher. Shay DeGrandis and Annette Ferrara story produced this for the stage, music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Robert Studios and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.